Welcome to the Wednesday, May 22nd edition of the Clemson Dubcast. Hope everybody out there is having a great week preceding what should be a fun Memorial Day weekend. Busy week at TigerIllustrated.com. Paul Strilo up now on the website. His Wednesday insider notes with some really good intel on a former Miami Hurricanes commitment. James Williams, 2021 prospect, defensive back who carries a similar profile to Isaiah Simmons, who guessing he's going to need to be replaced after the 2019 season, but who knows. Also, we have started our early summer position-by-position analysis. On Monday, it was the running backs, and then today, Wednesday, we got coming out later in the day an in-depth look at the linebacker position. So plenty of good content these days at TigerIllustrated.com from a recruiting coverage and team coverage standpoint. Title sponsor of the Clemson Dubcast, Parham Smith Arch and Hole Law Firm in downtown Greenville. They have been with us from the very beginning, since before the beginning, when this was just an idea. Blake Smith has been a good friend of mine for years, dating back to the days when he taught a law class at Clemson with Terry Don Phillips. Also, Brooke Archenhold, major Clemson fans. The forte of their firm, which is at 15 Washington Park in Greenville, is medical negligence. They represent patients and their families in medical negligence actions. Also handle all sorts of other personal injury litigation. Free consultations at Parham Smith and Archenhold. Give them a call, 864-990-4581. Or go to parhamlaw.com. Also sponsoring the Dubcast is Tandem Payment, company headquartered in Greenville, South Carolina, and headed up by a Clemson graduate, 2005. The newest program Tandem offers gives business owners an opportunity to eliminate up to 100% of your annual credit card processing fees. The best part, it encourages more transactions inside your business. Plus, you save the typical processing fees you pay annually. Call Tandem today to learn more about how to eliminate your credit card processing fees. Want to learn more? Visit TandemPayment.com today. Okay, let's get to our interview today with Richard Yergin. Was actually conducted over at the Abernathy Boutique Hotel. Very spur of the moment. Didn't even get in touch with Richard until after he got done with his interview on WCCP. Very good interview, by the way. But we're looking for a central meeting spot to conduct the interview, and the folks over at the Abernathy, Sam and Gary Cohen and the staff over there, very welcoming and accommodating. Actually, let us go sit in one of the guest rooms, which are very well-appointed and spacious. The Abernathy has become a popular spot for out-of-town visitors, not just during the season, of course, but also during the off-season when ESPN comes to town. Kirk Herbstreit, when he came in for the spring game, he stayed there, and he has also stayed there on all his other recent trips since the Abernathy has been open. So appreciate them opening their doors for us at the last minute today as we were able to sit down and do this, about an hour-long interview. All right, here we go. Enjoy. Okay, sitting here with Richard Yergin, who, as we sit here in a lovely room at the Abernathy Boutique Hotel, hardwood floors, real spacious and all that, it's like you're on the interview tour today. I heard you on Plyler on WCCP earlier this morning. Great interview. And now you're sitting down here with me.
Appreciate it.
This actually was very spontaneous hearing the interview on the radio. That made me say, man, I need to reach out to him and see if he wants to sit down with me. And you're
absolutely
like, sure. So thank you so much for doing it, spur of the moment.
As I told you, it's always a mutual respect between you and I.
Thank you. First of all, congratulations. Most of all, you're a new dad. You got a four-month-old boy. Is that right?
He's about to be 4 months next week. Yes, sir.
What's that like?
It's a whirlwind of emotions. I mean, obviously, at 22 years of age, you don't plan for things like these to happen, you know, so it takes some adjusting and some getting used to. But what I will say is it's been very rewarding, and it's taught me a lot.
What's his name?
Elijah.
Okay. I'm looking forward to seeing a picture of him. Okay. The recent news, which definitely
was news to just about everybody that you are back in line to play football, going to Boston College.
Yes, sir.
Can you just, and you might be tired of telling this story, but
no, you're fine.
Just the last time you and I spoke was during a podcast last fall, and at that point, it was over. It would just seem like too risky.
Right.
Take me from then to now.
Well, from then to now, I went to a doctor in Fort Lauderdale who's very experienced in spine surgery. He's couldn't drop any names, obviously, due to HIPAA compliance on the clients that he have assisted with my sort of similar injury to mine's, and what type of surgical procedures he was able to offer. And so I was obviously a little reserved about having surgery in that area. It's very invasive. And I just was a little worried from that standpoint, but I prayed about it, talked to my family about it, and I said, hey, you know what? Regardless of whatever happens, I think I should have this surgery because it would at least put me at peace as far as my level of discomfort, and, you know, put me in a position where I could at least have options if, you know, that, you know, were to go well, mm-hmm. which it did. So that was pretty much that.
And that was in November?
Yes, sir.
And then what was the point where you were told, hey, this isn't as bad as we thought it was going to be, and you might have a chance to pursue football?
We started having those conversations probably around January, that there would be a potential opportunity there. But I don't put my full 100% faith behind maybe. I need a definite. And so my biggest thing was I wanted to get out and, you know, explore other options. So I started doing a bunch of job interviews and getting heavily involved in Paul Journey through Clemson. Helped me out a lot. And I actually accepted a job offer with GE Healthcare as an account manager. That I was supposed to start on May 20th, but obviously I declined the offer to move up to Milwaukee and accept a job at GE Healthcare because of the opportunity that came about to play football again at Boston College. And so during that time, I kind of sat down, I thought to myself, I said, hey, you know, we're making a decision like this. What are the pros and what are the cons? And really, the pros outweigh the cons more than some. So my biggest thing was, hey, this is not a gamble. This is a pretty good decision to make for my life. And so it was really, for me, a no-brainer after sitting down and evaluating it.
And at what point was that?
A couple weeks ago, after my grandmother passed, I was in Florida with my family, just dealing with all of that stuff. And, you know, I thought it was time for me to reevaluate or at least reassess the situation. So I went to the doctor, and he, you know, sat me down, was like, hey, I got something to tell you. I'm like, come on, man. What's what now? Like, just lay it on me. It was like, you might be able to. Not even might. You could play again. I was like, come on, Doc, don't play with me like that. My emotions, and, you know, I've already kind of tried to close that chapter, tried to, you know, bury that hatchet, and come on, don't do this to me. So I had to talk with my family about it. There was, like I said, still a window of opportunity. And so my biggest thing was, in life, there's a lot of things we can do. But when do we ever get the chance to do what we want to do, at least the second time around? And so I said, hey, you know, I got to consider this at least. And after considering it and really thinking about how this move is more of a strategic chess move than it is a checkers move, I had to accept the offer.
Mm-hmm. And then what? What was your next step?
My next step was to, you know, start building a relationship with Boston College and the coaching staff, and then go up and visit and stuff like that. And then, you know, take a couple of days, let the excitement wear off, and then, you know, have a realistic approach towards making a decision. And so that's what I did.
What was the reaction? Okay, but we already know your reaction when the doctor told you. How about when you told your family and your fiance? You're engaged, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what was their sort of response to that news?
Everybody's just concerned with my health and making sure that I'm not doing anything to put myself at jeopardy of being in a state of paralysis or anything like that. And so as long as that wasn't a question or a concern, then they had no reservations about it.
And so it was the recommendation of one of your high school coaches who mentioned Boston College?
Yes, sir. My high school churns out Division I guys all the time. And so we have a guy that's currently committed to them. Excuse me. I'm a little sick. Lose my voice.
Excuse me. That's okay.
And so the relationship's always been there with Boston College. And my coach said, hey, you know, he's a guy that has the Catholic school background, education, never been a character issue guy. What do you think? And so they were like, what? And he went to Clemson, did all this. Like, this makes no sense. Like, where has this guy been at? Like, he's been injured. They're like, what? Yeah, and so, I credit him. I thank him so much, and I thank Coach Sweeney so much, too, because, you know, him putting his stamp of approval on me and telling him what kind of person I was while I was here at Clemson, and, as much as I try hard to fight to come back and do all that other stuff, you know, it's just a story of perseverance and not giving up. And, you know, Coach Sweeney, he was an underdog, and, you know, he didn't give up, and he fought, and he persevered, had a can't-be-denied, won't-be-denied attitude. And so, you know, I think that a lot of that resonated with him, and he was able to then, reconcile and say, hey, you know, I think if he wants to go for it, by all means, he goes for it. I just don't want anything to happen to him health-wise as well. So, you know, that's the big thing.
Was staying here an option?
It would have been had I had some information like this months and months ago, or had some sort of a vision or forecast of saying, hey, like, this is when I'll be, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But it was limbo. So I can't hold up a scholarship. Recruitment is at an all time high right now, let's be honest, you know, and things are going on and stuff like that. So, you know, I bowed out with respect, and, I knew that if something were to come up, that I would have to make a decision probably somewhere else, if that may have been the case, which obviously it is. So, like I said, there was nothing wrong there. Just totally understood, and just so excited to have Clemson back me and be behind me 100% in, you know, what I'm doing, as long as it's, you know, not me risking my life.
You have your undergrad in
sports communications and business administration, and my master's in athletic leadership.
And you're going to
obtain another master's in master's human or healthcare administration.
Okay.
Master of healthcare administration.
I think you alluded to this on Mickey's show, but being in Boston in the presence of so much academia, I guess, aside from Boston College, there's so many distinguished places of study. Have you studied up on that, or have you already always known that, or is this something that came about as you sort of did your own research on the area and all that?
Good question. To be honest with you, coming out of high school, I was again recruited by schools like Harvard, Yale, and stuff like that. But from a football standpoint, it just wasn't, you know, feasible to go. But I would say I did not realize how big it was. Like, I'd never been to that area to, you know, immerse myself and understand, you know, how things work and all of that. And so for me, you know, not having that exposure, you don't know what you don't know. But after going up there and kind of seeing it all firsthand, I was blown away because, I mean, how's a kid from big old Fort Lauderdale try to make his way up to the north, you know? And so, like I said earlier, football is just a navigational tool that I'm just using to allow myself to get as much as I can while I can, so that when I cannot, I will not wish that I should have when I could have. So, you know, that's another Coach Sweeney saying, but at the end of the day, it's so true. You know, it's just like, for me, I know that I'm a smart guy, you know, I'm educated, all these things, but I love the game of football. It's done me so well that I can't do anything but continue to pay homage and allow it to, you know, lead my path.
So did you go up there for a visit after you had already decided to go there or before?
Before.
Okay, so you just went to check the place out.
Yes, sir.
I guess got to know Coach Adazio and all
that. Yes, sir.
When I talked to you over the fall, you seemed very, and I guess I would say remarkably at peace with making that break with football.
I would say at least I tried to be. I think to a certain extent we always have to remember that when something doesn't end on your terms, and I think about this in terms of, you know, any relationships or, you know, if you were to get kicked out of a school or anything like that, you want things to end on your term. I want to graduate and leave a university. I don't want to not graduate and leave a university. I want to be the one who says, hey, you know, I don't think this relationship is going to work. You don't want somebody to tell you, hey, I don't think this relationship is going to work. You always want to be the one in control, but sometimes we don't always have control over a situation or how it plays out. And so, you know, this time around, I got the pen in my hand, and I'm like, you know what? This is my story. I can write it the way I want to write it, and I can make it as big as I want it or as small as I want it. But at the end of the day, my purpose is to impact people and, you know, just be transparent about, you know, my walk and, you know, the things that I had to endure over a long period of time that, you know, brought me great, great joy. Even though, you know, they say, you know, how can pain bring joy? But, you know, joy comes from knowing that you believe in a higher power and that higher power will never steer you wrong. And even in the midst of the storm and the rain, you weather it. And once you make it to the other side where it's sunny and blue, then you realize, you know, all that I went through was to get me here. So
even though you were telling people, like me, yeah, I'm at peace with it. There was still that lingering, I don't know, regret or whatever, but that sense of maybe just not having the opportunity to finish on your own terms.
Correct. I mean, I just have to be honest about that because, you know, oftentimes we try to harbor our feelings and our emotions. And we don't want them to show and keep a poker face on the whole time. But my hand had been dealt to me. I didn't like my hand.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, can I get a new hand? Uh-huh. But it don't work like that. So you have to, you know, wait your turn to get a new hand. And so being dealt a new hand, I'm like, hey, you know, I kind of like this hand. This hand, I have the upper hand and some leverage in this hand. So
does the average fan, college football fan, or average media person spend enough time thinking about how hard it is for a 21, 22-year-old to suddenly have to form a brand new identity when they've spent their whole lives being defined by being great at football? And,
you know, that's a good question. I think oftentimes we are, how do I put this? We are limited based upon what we know, meaning unless you really sit down and take the time to get to know a person like kind of you and I have gotten the opportunity to do, you'll never know that person's story and you'll never know what drives them, what fuels them, whatever the case may be. And so you're left to judge or to, you know, make a assumption. And so I think unless, you know, guys have more courage to share their story or to be more open and transparent, it's going to be hard to make that connection.
I mean, most careers don't end at age 23, 24, you know, even 27, you know,
right.
You're able to, most careers, you're able to do it well into your 40s, 50s, 60s, even maybe 70s. And so then it just seems like, well, I know it's a fact. I mean, it's very traumatic for a lot of people to sort of, after the cheering stops, you know, it's not like 80,000 people are going to watch you interview for a job.
Absolutely.
You know, in that respect, you mentioned you had a job basically up in Milwaukee, did you say?
Yes, sir.
With GE. Yeah.
Healthcare.
Can you take me through the process of how you were able to secure that? And I'm sure Paul Journey played a huge...
Paul Journey was huge, man. I mean, Jeff Davis, Rashard Hall, you know, the entire Clemson support staff, you know, put together that program to allow guys the opportunity to gain exposure outside of football, whether that's life, community outreach, job opportunities, professional development, all of that stuff. And it has definitely skyrocketed and taken off in a direction that has garnered a lot of attention over the past couple of years. We've had some huge companies come through and do some interviews and hand out some, not hand out, but allow guys to have the opportunity to come and do micro internships. And so with this opportunity, a gentleman by the name of Joe Gaskew, vice president of GE Healthcare Division, came down, interviewed with a couple guys from GE Healthcare as well. And so they interviewed me. They loved me right off the bat, loved my story, my skill set, and they felt like it would be perfect for that industry. And so I said, hey, you know, I'm all for it. You know, I just want an opportunity to be able to provide for my family and to be able to, you know, kind of change the narrative of, you know, how to bounce back or how to keep it pushing, you know, when life deals you a raw hand that you're like, wow, like I didn't see that coming. And so my biggest thing is like out in the world, again, like I said, it's not common to hear a guy like me and do all of this stuff, keep pushing, keep doing all this stuff. But, you know, I have a never quit mentality and I won't be denied mentality. And so, you know, that's what allows me to continue to persevere and, you know, just continue to be the man that I am.
And you mentioned you had an internship at a law firm in Anderson as well.
Chamberlain Mills Law Firm, yes, sir.
When was this?
That was from the time I was a freshman. So when I was a freshman back in 2015 summer, one of my redshirt freshman year, I got the job. You know, it meant a lot to me because I got so much hands-on exposure with day-to-day life in a law firm from a mediation standpoint, trials, dealing with cases and case studies and just what it took to, you know, become a lawyer because at the time I wanted to be a sports agent. Reason why I majored in sports communication and business administration. And so, you know, I was really hung up on that. And, you know, over the course of summers, I worked there for about 3 summers. And sometimes during the fall or the spring when I had extra time, you know, I just really took the opportunity to grow and develop as a young man, you know, outside of just football. And, you know, it's paved the way for me, honestly, you know, and I'm not even afraid to admit it. But, you know, without that experience and that exposure, you know, I don't know what I would be right now, you know. But the fact that I know I have so many options and so many things that I can do with my life, you know, it's great. But like I said earlier, you know, what do you want to do? What drives you? And, you know, just being able to play the game is what, you know, gives me that fuel, gives me that motivation, you know, to go out there and just, you know, have fun and, you know, not be in a box, so to speak. Being honest.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's my biggest thing is like, as long as I can do what it is that I want to do in life, I'm going to try to do it, you know, before I have to do things that I don't necessarily want to do, but you kind of have to do in order to provide or, you know, to continue to go with life as it, you know, as you progress.
You mentioned changing the narrative for someone who has encountered all sorts of adversity, but in terms of changing the narrative of the average college athlete,
right?
Who a lot of people perceive as being pushed through a university, just eligibility maintenance, just keeping them eligible, yeah. And then if they graduate, great. But then once you're done with them, you move on to the next commodity that's right. still eligible.
Right.
In terms of changing that narrative, how much right. do you think the whole Paul journey concept, the focus on preparing you guys for what happens after?
That is a great question. To be honest with you, Clemson is not a factory. If you're not willing to buy into the concept of family and being all in when it comes down to your grades academically, how you treat your teammates, winning at all costs on the football field, meaning putting in the extra work in the film room, in the weight room, whatever the case may be, then this isn't the place for you. And so, you know, what Clemson has done is leverage their brand and made it to where their student athletes feel like they get the full experience. And for me, I must say I'm a living proof and living testimony of Clemson giving you the resources. And if you use them the way that they provide them to you, then you'll walk away with so much. And so for me, like I said, I have garnered, so much attention today and things like that. But you got to fall in love with the grind more than the shine. And so, for me, all I know is the grind. And if you will buy into the grind, then that'll make being at Clemson so much better, you know?
Want to introduce our newest sponsor to the Dubcast. Welcome to Uptown Realty LLC, locally owned and operated out of Sumter, but also they serve the Eastern Midlands and PD area with the buying and selling of homes, commercial properties, and land. Patrick Enzer, a friend of mine who used to cover Clemson football and work in the sports writing industry. He grew up in Anderson, going to Clemson games, been in Sumter for 15 years. Also a loyal listener to the Tubcast. Uptown Realty offers affordable new housing in the mid-$130,000s from a local custom builder. Patrick is the sole owner and broker in charge. Give him a call at 803-983-5660. His website is uptownrealtysc.com.
One of the major controversial topics right now is the pay for play. Should with coaches making lots and lots of money, your former head coach making more than $9 million a year.
Absolutely.
The labor force largely unpaid.
Yes.
What is your personal? Well, I guess I'll say we're hearing from a lot of coaches on this topic. We're hearing from a lot of media people on this topic. A lot of voices.
Yes, sir.
But we're not hearing from any players, and right. So I'm curious. I want to hear your thoughts on it, one way or the other.
Well, I think you got to look at college sports like this, right? In comparison to the NFL, college is the last form of pure football from a passion standpoint, just playing for the love of the game, and there's not any incentives built in for players to be paid and stuff like that. So you're actually getting a chance to see a guy just play, like, and there's nothing else concerning him. Now, where the problem comes in, that I feel like, some guys' situations may be different from a socioeconomic standpoint. In a background standpoint, upbringing. So therein lies the problem, is that we have to realize we don't live in a bubble. You know, there's things going on outside of us every day, all day. Everyone has problems, the whole nine. And so I think where the issue comes in, that is, if a guy is garnering a lot of attention for a school and, he's making them a lot of money, why can't he be compensated in some sort of monetary way, or something like that, or if he does this, then why can't he get something at the end of it? And that's a good question, and my take on it is, I love football the way it is for college as an amateur thing, but I do believe that at some point, when a guy's done playing, there should be some sort of a trust fund set aside to kind of help guide him for at least a couple of years to kind of give him some stability so that once he comes out of college, because during college it's hard to save money and do all this different stuff because you're living on a small, tight budget. So I feel like that would kind of provide a little bit of leeway for a guy. And that's funny you asked, because that's kind of a lot of the stuff that I studied in my master's program. Mm. And so, you know, to me, I'm passionate about this kind of stuff. So, you know, I speak straight from the heart. You know, it's not something that I read up on or something like that, which I have, but I'm speaking something that I've lived. And so, you know, I think the biggest thing is to, at some point, you know, give that player or that former student athlete some sort of reciprocity.
You know, one interesting thing is, this is, I guess, anecdotal, but the surefire NFL guys,
yeah,
you don't often hear them, I guess, complaining,
correct,
about being, you know, compensated more.
Right.
I guess largely because they view their college of choice as a training ground.
Correct. Correct.
For when they will get paid, you know, the nicest facilities, strength coach, and then promotion every on ESPN, yes, not only during the games, but all year,
yes,
really, for the prominent players.
Yes.
But I think of a guy like Ben Boulware, who was a great college player.
Yes.
A prominent, very prominent part of Clemson's team in 2015 and 16.
Yes.
When they won a national title and played for another. And you think, man, that's a lot of jerseys. A lot of kids are wearing that number 10 jersey, and there was a lot of focus on him. And so let's say that was worth $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just pulling that number out of thin air.
Good point, yes.
And that's put in a trust. After he graduates, he's able to access that.
Correct.
And he currently, I guess, helps run a fitness center in Anderson, I guess, as you know. So instead of having to, I don't know whether he got investors or took out loans or whatever, but instead of having to go the route of taking out loans or getting investors, that's a great little lump sum he can start his life with.
Exactly,
you know,
exactly.
Do you see what I'm saying? And do you agree with sort of the merit of that premise?
I definitely do. You bring up some great points. I think how we should look at that is, you know, Ben Boulware, obviously, a dear teammate of mine, love him to death. And it's unfortunate that, you know, the next level did not work out. But again, to go back to my point, I feel like, yes, a trust fund should have been set aside, or at some point should be set aside to, you know, refund him for his time at Clemson. Although, you know, a scholarship at the time does help out a lot. Like, now that I think about it, I don't know what I would do if I was drowning in student loan debt. So there's an even trade-off with, you know, all the free gear, money, food, travel, all the things that you have to take into consideration that Coach Sweeney does reemphasize to us. Like, hey, you know, you guys are getting, you know, world-class treatment for free in exchange for your talent. And, you know, there's a mutual understanding and agreement up front once you sign those papers. And I don't think a lot of people realize that right away until you get in the trenches and get, you know, engulfed in it. Then you're like, oh man, I didn't realize that that's what I did. But yeah, that's what you do when you sign as a 17, 18 year old coming out of high school. You know, you have to know what you're getting yourself into. And what's interesting is, you know, I composed a case study back in undergrad with a professor of mine about, you know, informing parents and stuff like that about the recruitment process. And it's published and it's out. And, you know, that's basically what I talked about is, hey, you know, you have to ask questions and you have to be informed and educated before making a decision and signing your name on things. I think a lot of times, you know, we get upset about what we already should know. So, you know, that's kind of my take on it.
Where can people find that paper?
Well, honestly, you just type my name in on Google and you type in a case study. I got it on my phone somewhere.
Okay.
But I'll be more than willing to share it with you so you can share it with folks.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and another thing, like let's say they just changed everything.
Right.
And players get $150,000 a year.
Correct.
You know. Well, then you got to pay taxes on that.
I just feel like pay
tuition. Better be prepared for. Right.
I just feel like that makes it too messy. You know, mm-hmm. I like the structure of how things are. And like I said, only if I had one thing I would change, it would be that one thing, which is the trust fund. But yeah, the whole idea of players having to be responsible at 17, 21, 22 and pay for all their stuff, you give them $150,000, yeah, guys would be out of school immediately. Yeah. Guys would just leave. So I don't think that's a good idea to put that type of pressure on a kid.
And we're already seeing with the transfer portal.
Right.
Sort of some unintended consequences, maybe some over. It was a bit of an overcorrection because now everybody's coming out of the woodwork, going to the transfer portal, and there probably aren't going to be that many scholarship. Not a lot of them aren't going to get scholarship offers from Power Five schools. It looks like so. I think, and you hit on it. You know, these are still young kids who often come from difficult backgrounds, and they're not prepared.
Right.
To make that type of decision, and you'll often see maybe who knows why some of these people are going to the portal.
Right.
Like in some cases, it could be just after a bad practice, after they get demoted after one day of practice.
It's getting really out of hand. I think that, like I told Mickey earlier, you can't be emotional in this game. This business is business. And once you understand that, you begin to make strategic chess moves as opposed to checker moves because, you know, when I say king me, that means I've been thinking about this for a while. When I say you make one move, it could be a false move and you shouldn't have made that move with a pawn. And so, you know, my thing is, I encourage guys to continue to educate themselves, you know, about policies in college football and understanding their rights and, you know, just be aware of what you're getting yourself involved in and signing up for, and try to leave your emotions out of your decision making.
Have you ever thought about the combined monetary value of a football player on scholarship of not just a scholarship?
Right.
Even though that's a big deal.
Right.
The stipend you guys get. How much is that? Do you know off the top of your head? Monthly?
It goes up, but if you're off campus, I believe it's somewhere in the 1500 range or something like that, which, you know, I believe takes care of, here at Clemson, your like rent and your food and gas and like a couple utility things or miscellaneous. And so, you know, it does help a lot, and it does give you some breathing room and some leeway because, you know, we're so fortunate here at Clemson to have a world-renowned training nutrition staff. So, I mean, you're getting all that stuff for free. Imagine if you had to pay for that while you was in college. Yeah. Like, imagine having to pay for going to a training session with Coach Batson every day. That'd be expensive. You know, so all of that stuff you have to take into account. You're getting free tutoring, you know, to help with school. Imagine if you had to come out of pocket and pay $30-$40 a week or every session or however the case may be. You know, it's just so many different things that we could get into as it relates to intercollegiate athletics. But I feel like at the end of the day, the model that's in place is good. It could be tweaked a little bit, like I said, in regards to the trust fund again.
You think that the access to that trust fund should hinge on graduation?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Graduation do us a part, and now here you go. This is our token of appreciation for, you know, all that you've done for this university and yada yada yada. So that's kind of how I would sum that up.
That's what Coach Sweeney recently said. He would be open to talking about establishing a trust fund for likeness, name and likeness, whatever.
Correct.
And then have it to where you can access that only after you graduate.
Right.
You've mentioned, I mean, your story. You touched on this during the interview with Mickey. I mean, I'd like to talk about your background and your upbringing, if that's okay, just because that shapes who all of us are now, our own individual experiences. You mentioned that when you were in high school, you had to deal with one of your friends getting murdered.
Yeah. So growing up, a good friend of mine's at the time. You know, he didn't have his father in his life. I had mine in my life. And, you know, my dad said, you know, you kind of need to separate yourself from this young man. He's kind of, you know, not helping you. He's bringing you down. And it's hard to accept that as a young kid. Like, my friend, like, we hang out all the time, you know, stuff like that. And you can't see what your parents can see. But my dad had foresight and, you know, sending me to the high school that he sent me to, although, you know, it was expensive and stuff like that, just making the sacrifice to figure out how to receive some financial aid and stuff like that, for me to be in a different environment and not be around the same group of knuckleheads, you know, that I was growing up with, really changed my life. And, you know, every day I think about it, just how much I miss them, how much I wish I could have helped them, how much, you know, I wish he would have helped himself. But, you know, unfortunately, losing him, my senior year of high school, I'm not sure if it was his senior year because I don't know if he was in school or not, but it should have been, you know, and just kind of going through that and kind of not really trying to show too many emotions as it relates to that, because that's kind of like a norm and for a lot of the Miami area. Is to, you know, have incidents like that occur. So it's kind of like you just say a prayer and keep it moving. And I know that may not be normal to a lot of other people, but, you know, that's just me sharing, you know, the real deal, Evander Holyfield, yeah. Is that things like that do occur on a daily basis. And that definitely made me look at life totally different, I would say.
What was his name?
His name was Stephen Reddy.
And y'all touched on this a little bit, but your parents also went through some tough times in the
during the recession.
Yeah,
yes, sir. My dad had to take a pay cut around that time in order to keep his job, and he was going through battling cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He had it in remission after. I guess around the time it was about fifth or sixth grade during the recession, that's when he first had his bout with cancer. And then coming back around my sophomore year here in college at Clemson, my dad started disappearing, like just dropping weight crazy after being on chemo, losing his hair. I just didn't recognize my dad. And I'm up here and I'm trying to, you know, compete for a spot at a time and all this stuff going on. And, you know, just trying to stay focused on the main thing, which is to receive my education and play a little football. But, you know, having that going on at the house, you know, my mom, she really stepped up and, you know, did the best she could. She was taking care of my dad and my grandma at the same time. You know, rest in peace to my grandma. I just lost my grandma a couple weeks ago.
What's her name?
Dorothy Corbett. And so, you know, my mom's playing caretaker role and trying to work. You know, that's tough. You taking care of your husband and your mom. It's just a lot of stuff to balance out. And so, you know, biggest thing is I get my strength from my parents. You know, they've endured so much. And, you know, I watched my mom basically, you know, lose everything that she's ever worked for. You know, during the recession, she lost her business, her hair salon. And, you know, due to some taxes and stuff like back taxes and stuff like that. And so, you know, just watching her have to go through that and, you know, now go and try to find somewhere else to work and, you know, just all this stuff going on and through high school and carrying over into college and stuff like that. Just wanting to be able to take that pressure off my family and be able to provide for them. Obviously, going to the NFL was my way of potentially doing that. But, you know, as I got here to Clemson and started being exposed to other things, I realized that there's other ways that I could provide and help my family other than just financial, you know, emotional support, spiritual, just educating them as well about things that I find out, things that I know, things that could help them, you know, just really drove me to say, you know what, I got so many things in life, again, like I said, I can do, but what is it that I want to do? What puts me at peace? What gives me that want to get up? And that's playing football. Like, I don't know, like, I hate to say it, but it's like I don't know nothing else. Although I do know a whole lot outside of football, it's like, what else do I know besides, like, getting out there and just having fun? And like, that's like our piece as a family, like them coming to see me play and stuff like that. It's like my dad's like reading articles and stuff about me. It motivates him. And that's what helped him kind of like battle with cancer the second time around, because he wanted to stay here to be here with me and, you know, my mom and stuff like that. And hopefully see his grandkids. He got now my son and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just an amazing journey that I've been on. And I'm documenting every bit of it, and hopefully I'll have a book or something out, you know, by the end of the year or next year.
Oh, you've been writing this stuff?
Yes, sir.
Down?
Yes, sir. There's no game.
How's your father doing now?
My father's doing better. He's, again, he's in remission. He's been in remission for the past 2 years, going on three. So we just pray that everything is good this time around and, you know, no more scares like that.
So you said he came up here, or they came up here at one point? Or as far as to live? I'm sorry, I must have misunderstood.
Yeah, no, not as far as live, okay. But, you know, just like visiting me and stuff, yep. Like when I was dealing with my injury and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Although, you know, it was
tight. Was that hard for them after your car accident in Absolutely. June of 2017 to be that far away?
Absolutely. I mean, good thing about it is, like I mentioned before, I have family up here in this area, so my aunts, uncles, stuff like that were able to come and be with me and take care of me and kind of fill in the place of my parents, like not being able to be here every day and stuff like that. So, you know, that's one of the main reasons why I'm glad I ended up at Clemson, because I have family, mm-hmm. like blood family, and I have people that are not my blood-related relatives but are huge Clemson supporters and supporters of me that have helped me through this trial and tribulation that I've had to endure.
Big supporter of Clemson Athletics and now a loyal supporter of the Clemson Dubcast is Harris Flooring America. Based in Anderson, South Carolina, Harris Flooring has been instrumental in a lot of the facilities transformation you've seen on Clemson's campus lately, from the Allen Reeves Center to the McFadden Building to Memorial Stadium to the Neary Center. Harris Flooring has been at the ground floor, pun intended, of all this. Family owned and operated since 1947. The owner, Scott Junkins, big Clemson guy. He employs Clemson folks. And keep in mind, it's not just commercial. Harris Flooring is just as good inside the home and the residential realm as they are with the larger scale commercial stuff. Floor to ceiling design capabilities. Give them a call, 864-642-6183, or online at flooringamerica-anderson.com.
So you were sort of a student assistant?
Yes, sir. Student coach.
Student coach.
Yes, sir.
Was it defensive ends? Or?
Yes, sir. Defensive
okay,
ends.
Okay, so for Lomansky Hall?
Yes, sir.
I got to know, going into the game against Alabama, what? Right. Because not many people out there were saying, yeah, Clemson's going to hold this offense 16 points.
Right.
Behind closed doors, as you in particular and the defensive coaches in general are watching film of those guys, what did y'all see? And I know y'all were confident, but I'm just curious what the root of that confidence.
We've seen a team that put fear in opponents' heart based upon the name. Mm. And we knew that if we brought the fight to them early, that they would lay down, which is what they did. And so, you know, watching them on film, they look like a well-put-together team, you know, a well-oiled machine. But the moment adversity struck them, you see they went in disarray. And we just began to become more unified. We started rotating bodies in and out, and it felt like they were just losing so many bodies. It was an awesome experience. You know, they fought hard, though, all the way to the end. But, you know, clearly we had a better matchup, better game plan that night. And, you know, we wanted it more.
There wasn't much evidence on film in their previous 14 games that they right. would lay down.
Right.
So what did y'all see that gave y'all that belief?
Well, we really didn't think that they would lay down. Oh. But as far as being able to match up with them as far as talent, we had that. And so we weren't worried about that. It was just about executing and capitalizing on turnovers and big plays. And so we knew if we could do that, that would be a shocker to them. because they weren't used to turning the ball over and being in tight situations where their backs were up against the wall and, you know, they had a response. They've been out front. They've been the front runner all season. They've been beating teams and, you know, just kind of not having to play a complete game, if that makes sense. And we just continued to get better and better as the season went along and, you know, guys stepped up and we just had it was a different feel for us by the end of the season. I feel like they were a little bit in cruise control, if you may. Like, it was automatic. We're going to win the national championship. And we're like, you know what? We're not going to have a repeat of last year, of 2017. We're going to come out and we're going to bring the fight first this time. So, you know, that mentality, I feel, is what was our edge in that game.
If Cleland and Christian and Austin don't come back, is that game 65-54?
You know what? That's a really good question. I'm glad I don't have to answer that. But I will say those guys are tremendous leaders. And just to speak on Cleland and Austin and Christian, also and Dexter, just emotionally, those guys were so invested for their last year. You know, I had so many conversations with Cleland and Austin, and those guys didn't talk once about the NFL. They were just focused on beating Alabama and just, you know, winning that national championship. And so to see those guys accomplish what they set out to do, it was beautiful. And on the field, and to be there helping them right along the way, I felt just as, you know, at peace with how things ended as they did. So we were all extremely excited and happy.
The big story was Trevor Lawrence and Justin Ross,
right,
in the passing game that just gave fits to Alabama. But isn't the biggest reason those three guys coming back?
Listen, I'll tell you what. Those guys are special. There's no doubt about it. But I feel like, again, it's just that leadership that we had on the team to bring those guys along, you know, and make them, you know, push and grind it out and not have a freshman mentality by the, you know, time we play Alabama. But they were like veterans. It looked like they've been playing college football for 5 years. Like, you know, they were so in sync. And so, you know, it's just a credit to the leadership that we had on the team and the development by the coaches and, you know, the rest of the staff, the time and effort and energy put in. You know, a lot of people don't know the long nights, not leaving the facility till almost 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock till you get it right. Because, I mean, why go to sleep if, you know, you're not at peace with, you know, how things are? You got to make sure that you make all the correct adjustments and, you know, have everything in place so that you have a good plan in order to be a team that executes that plan on game day.
It really reminded me, talking about the dynamic that those three guys brought and their refusal to, you know, to buckle under any, you know, their consummate focus, 100% drive and focus on one thing as opposed to the NFL and all that. It reminded me of Deshaun and Mike Williams and Wayne Gallman and Jordan Leggett and even Ben Boulware in 16. Like, that is what pushed you guys passed, even though it was at the last second, whereas this one was a 4-touchdown win. It just, it seems that intangible drive and belief and determination means so much.
You got it. You just revealed the secret to the success. it's having a eye of a tiger, heart of a champion, and a, you know, a laser focus on accomplishing the task at hand. And, you know, not getting activity confused with accomplishment. And so, you know, we've had a lot of past accomplishments, but, you know, it's like once you have a taste of that success, you know, how do I get back there? How do I maintain? How do I sustain? And that's the key to it, what you just said.
Is it going to be hard to replace what we're talking about, not just the talent, but the between the ears?
The verdict is still out, but I believe that Clemson does a great job at developing players, getting them ready to play, and it's going to be interesting to see how it all boils out.
Did you know Austin Bryant was playing with a torn pec during
that? I did not know that, but I mean, that's tremendous on his behalf to have that ability to play through such an injury and play at a high level. That just speaks to his ability and his capabilities.
And then Cleveland playing with turf toe.
Beast. One word.
Were you able to get a look at the freshman defensive linemen during spring practice? Tyler Davis and
They look really good. Love what I saw. I really hope that they continue to develop and become great players.
Shaq Smith going in the portal, does that surprise you? Did it surprise you?
A little bit. It caught me off guard.
No more thoughts on that on, yeah. Is there anything we haven't talked about you want to talk about? We've gone for a while. This is you're probably gonna your voice is gonna be gone after these two interviews.
Right.
Thank you, Richard, for joining us again and catching us up and congratulations on the continuation of your college football career the way you want it to end, and also congratulations on being a dad. Welcome to fatherhood.
Thank you, Tiger Nation. Thank you, Larry, and thank you, everybody. I appreciate the support from the bottom of my heart. You know, I'll always be a Clemson man, two-time graduate, two-time national champ, best ever. It feels good to say.
It's going to be awfully weird seeing you wearing a different uniform when BC comes to town.
Let's not do it yet.
Another topic for another day.
Let's put all that attention on the man up above. It's his plan, not mine.
Good luck. Take care, bud.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, too, Richard Yergin, and best of luck to him as he begins a whole new chapter in his life in a whole different type of place up in Boston in Chestnut Hill. Really cool story, though. Thank you to our group of sponsors. Title sponsor, Parham Smith & Arch & Hull Law Firm in downtown Greenville. Also in Greenville, Tandem Payment. Over in Anderson, Harris Flooring America. Our newest sponsor, Uptown Realty, in the Sumter PD area, but also the Eastern Midlands. And finally, the wonderful and wonderfully nice folks over at the Abernathy for all that they do, including hosting this very interview. The greatest thanks goes out to all you listeners for making this a part of your routine and keeping this thing going. It's been a lot of fun, and we look forward to continuing it next week. So stay tuned. Everybody have a great Memorial Day weekend. Cheers.